When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Well, the first thing, the characteristic is overthinking. This was me. Like, just so you know, this was me. I struggled with this all my life until I discovered what love addiction was and I did the recovery work. And I would do this nonstop. I would replay conversations, going over and over past arguments, looking at text messages, rereading them, thinking about the conversation, trying to decipher every little nuance of what they said. So that's characteristic number one. It's characterized by overthinking. Number two is catastrophe thinking. If there's a little, you know, you're texting along or talking, then there's a little gap. Oh my God. It's instantly picturing and projecting that the relationship is over. So they're angry. They're upset that something's wrong. You did something wrong. So it's characterized by constantly being afraid that something is wrong in the relationship. The third characteristic is needing constant reassurance. And this was me. I learned it from my mother. I can remember my mom. She's so adorable. She was such a love addict. But we'd be at Christmas dinner, I don't know, talking about politics or something. All of a sudden, my mom would just blurt out, "How do I look in this dress?" Well, and you wonder why I became a love addict. I had a mother who was one. So, you know, that would be me. You know, how do I look? Am I, you know, is everything okay? Are you okay? That constant reassurance. The fourth characteristic is bringing the past into the current relationship. I would constantly critique, wait a minute, they just did that. Well, my last girlfriend or wife did this, that must mean. So it's this constant comparison because we're always trying to avoid this past hurt, but our behaviors, by being that hypervigilant, we're gonna actually end the relationship by being too aware. All right. The fifth one is we give too much time and attention to the other person and too much power. We basically make them into a fantasy. Someone, like, think of what we're doing with all of these characteristics. Our life depends on them. There's way too much focus and attention on them, not enough on ourselves. We will give up all of our interest. We don't like any space from them. We don't like to not hear from them. We have made them our, what's called our higher power, our life and our comfort really depends on them. Number six is snooping, checking their phone, asking them where they're going, their emails. They're constantly wondering where they are, what they're doing, looking at their social media, their Snapchat, their Instagram. Pardon me, what are they posting? Wait a minute, I thought you said you were here, but I see on your Snapchat or your Instagram, you were doing this. That's the snooping aspect. Number seven, we only feel whole or happy if we're in a relationship. It like completes us, all right? And people be desperate without one. So those are the seven characteristics. Now let's get into the seven solutions. The first step in this is acknowledge the truth. Our expectations are addictive in nature. We're demanding too much time and attention from the other person, and we've made them our higher power. We have to recognize this isn't love. Our expectations are not reasonable, that we have some recovery work to do in ourselves. And that's difficult. I mean, with any imperfection of ours, we always want it to be the other person. If they just do this stuff, I'd be fine. When the reality is we have to accept, I need to do some work. Okay, so that's solution number one. The second one is, the next three actually come from Al-Anon. They're the three gets. Get off their back, get out of their way, get on with their own life. So that's two, three, and four. Get off their back means quit being so all over them, wondering what they're doing, checking up on them, snooping, overthinking about everything they do. Get off their back. Let them live their life. Quit paying so much attention to them. Number two, get out of their way. That means let them be who they want to be. Quit trying to change them, because that's what we do. We think if we can change them, if we can get them to meet these needs of ours, we will calm down. Everything will be better. Well, no, they're fine the way they are. Now, obviously, there are people that are avoidance, which I'll talk about in another video. But in general, it's not our place to critique them and judge them and tell them who they have to be. Get out of their way. Finally, get on with your own life. This means instead of putting all our time and attention into them, put it into ourselves. Start pursuing our needs and wants. Start pursuing our family and friends again. Get on with our own life. Number five is self-esteem work, because our whole internal sense of security is based on them. And so we need to learn to value ourselves as an individual. And we do that by getting on with our own life. Number six is we need to develop boundaries. Now, this is difficult, okay? With boundaries, I want you to think of gas pedals. We talk too much. We share too much. We're too open. We're too vulnerable. We expect too much. And so we need to think of taking our foot off the accelerator and constantly be invested. Pull way back. Think of it this way. If our partner shares a little bit, is going about 8-10 miles an hour, then we join them. We might try and advance to 12-13 miles an hour. If they back off, we back off. And here's how you'll know when you're setting boundaries and you're doing this right. You should feel like you're cold, mean, distant, disinterested, and don't care. That you're selfish, that everything is way too quiet. You should be incredibly uncomfortable. When you're in that place, you'll know that you're no longer acting addictively or anxious, and you're acting appropriately, because our gas pedal is way to the floor. And so that's the key, is start feeling like, man, I am just cold, mean, disinterested, not involved in this relationship at all. That's when you'll know you're setting boundaries. You'll get used to that, and things will get better. And finally, all of this comes from childhood abandonment. We were abandoned drastically in childhood. And the only way to overcome this is work with an expert on how to heal it. I would also encourage you to pick up Pia Melody's Facing Love Addictions for you to learn about all of this, and her book Facing Codependence. And then Beverly Engel's The Emotionally Abusive Relationship, so you can get into reality about how abandoned you were in childhood. Those three books are central to us who struggle with the anxious and really the love addiction attachment style. So those are your seven solutions. Leave me comments. Let me know how much of this resonated with you. And if you need more assistance on those books, let me know. I'll put you the links for them, and make sure you get the information so you can turn this around just like I had to. All right. So I hope that helps you and helps you see that, you know, as long as you work on these steps, you no longer need to be afraid in your relationships.